Welcome to the Swarmcast, an episodic look at the Southwest Ohio regional meta and the players within. We have tourney players, casual locals, gifted hobbyists, and many more. So come join us down the rabbit hole of Warmer Hordes in the southwest corner of the Buckeye State. Your hosts are Jerry Stonecipher, Aaron Jones, and myself, Mike Corka.
Welcome to the Swarmcast. Here we are again with myself, Mike, Jerry, and Jonesy.
Hello.
Howdy.
So guys, how are we doing?
Pretty good.
So here it is. This is now going to be known as official episode 4 because episode 3 died, and then we had to sit there and go and put in episode 4 as episode 3. So now this is now episode 4.
Version 2.0.
Yes.
Which is actually episode 3, 2.0.
So like we start on all of our podcasts now, we're going to talk about games, talk about hobby, and then we're going to talk about the topic of the night, which is going to be the new SR packet, the Steamroller 2018 packet. It just got released the other night, and we're going to go through and talk about it. But first, let's talk about games. So Jonesy's pretty happy about his game.
Oh, yeah.
So what happened, Jonesy? Who'd you play?
I beat you, Cork.
Yeah,
spoiler alert. Yep.
So Jonesy and I played. He tried his Xerxes list. And thanks to Jeremy and Jeremy Smith and Jason Crosby, who came up and was really interested in the game. So we got a lot of eyes on it. And so what had happened...
Real quick, do we have the list on an earlier episode?
No, let's go ahead and go through your list.
So it's Xerxes 2. Running a Hydra, 2 free Agonizers, of course it's Imperial Warhost, an Archidon, a Gladiator, a Titan, backed up by a Feralgeist, 2 Willbreakers, 2 Min Beast Handlers, and a Swamp Guy Rebello crew.
Okay.
Carry on.
So he played into my Kruger 2 list, which is my generalist list, and it's a list that we've talked about before. So, pretty much after all the initial runs in turn one, we made some measurements, and I saw that pretty much I could get to his bronze back, his Archidon, and get some shots into Xerxes 2. So, pretty much at that point, I decided we're going to go ahead and see what the rest of the army can do. So, I went ahead and changed some targeting priorities, and we played it out. And pretty much Jonesy got me on scenario.
Mm-hmm. What?
So, yeah. Well. So the list can do scenario if he doesn't feed his army to me.
I would like to go into that last turn if I could.
Yeah.
Because I was up, 4-1?
4-1, yes.
And I was set to score 2, you were set to score 1.
Yep.
So you just had to say I end my turn and be done with it.
No. So that would be 6-2. I would only be up by 4. You have to win by 5.
Yep.
You're right. Math.
So I thought I had control of, we're doing spread the net. I had the right side zone.
Yep.
And I had my flag. We were strongly contested in the center, so I was going to try to take out a walled watcher.
Yep.
And a black clad.
Yep. Walled watcher and black clad.
And what was there also? Wold Weird?
Yeah, Wold Weird on that, on my square zone.
So I had a Titan and Xerxes I threw in there. No, my Hydra.
Yeah. You killed everything but the Watcher.
Yeah.
Stone Form, Earth's Blessing.
Turns out when you're sending, you know, the Hydra or Xerxes in, it helps if you feed first.
Yeah, that helps.
Or with Xerxes, if you put Ignite on him when you're going up against something in the stone form.
Mm-hmm.
I did neither of those things. How close did I come to killing it anyway?
You got to 3 boxes.
So, and as soon as I had the last roll, and I was like, well, nuts, and looked at the table, I was like, oh yeah, I should have feeded there. And everyone at the table went, uh-huh.
Yeah, everyone around me was sitting there covered in my mouth. It's like, did he feed? I'm like, no, he didn't. And you could just see on your feet, it's like, oh, why not?
So go ahead.
So where was Cort getting his point? From his flag?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you had no models within the ability to run up to it.
Well, hold on. Because all I had to do was score 2 more points than he did this turn. I was trying to score 3 to his 1. I failed at that. So I looked over and saw, oh, I've got this Willbreaker here in my right-hand zone. I can run that up to within 4 inches of the flag, contest, and score 2-0 that turn and win.
It is always easier to deny your opponent a point than to try and get one up over him.
Yep.
So on the one hand, complete brain failure with the kills, but I feel pretty good about spotting. And no one, I don't think anyone hinted, you know, deny that point. I came with that, saw my solo, and pulled it out on my own. Mm-hmm. So, feeling okay about that as a result.
Yeah. I mean, at least you caught that before you activated the Willbreaker, had him go up and do something.
Yeah.
Move on and realized, oh, he was within 14 inches of the flag.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I sat there and Jonesy and I were, in that moment, the turn before, I had an option to sit there and put my my World Watcher into his Willbreaker. We had measured it out, and I had the distance. And part of me was just like, well, I want to see if I can kill this Bronzeback. Because, you know, for me, it was, you know, just really letting Jonesy get a good play on the game and getting some experience. I mean, I wanted to see how much I could kill.
Mm-hmm.
Because the list that I'm running right now, the World Watchers, are a brand new addition to it. And so I wanted to see what a PAL 14 World Watcher can do. Well, it can't kill a Bronzeback.
I probably could have told you that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm at dice off 5.
Mm-hmm.
And needed to do, what was it, 5 boxes left?
Oh, I mean, if it's almost dead, you should be able to.
Yeah. But my dad's been like, no, not today. So it's like, okay, well, good to know. Hopefully he doesn't see the Willbreaker or realize what he can do with them. And he did, so good job. That was your one game for tonight, wasn't it?
Yep. Real quick, I would like to point out, I think for my next game, and yours as well, probably, we should record what our dice rolls actually are.
Yeah.
Just because you seem to get a lot of, you know, snake eyes and threes.
Yeah.
Well, there's a reason his nickname is Boost.
Yeah.
I do want to track it, though, because I'm kind of curious as to, you know, everyone talks about their cursed dice. I think that's much more a psychological thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if that would help people stop tilting, if they're always like, yeah, that's a bad roll, but they happen, and...
Yeah.
No, because tilting happens in the moment. There's no logic to it. I mean, yeah, if you sit down and think, it's like, okay, yeah, my dice are going to go up and down. That's just part of the stat. That's just part of how the dice statistics work. But you don't. You get caught up in that moment of, I needed a 4 on 2d6, and I rolled a 3.
Yeah.
You just get caught in that moment.
No, that's for me, I've just come to terms with my dice. My dice are going to do whatever my dice want to do. And my dice tend to roll worse when I am stressed or tilting internally. And my dice tend to roll better when I'm relaxed. And they'll do whatever it is they want to do. But, I mean, as far as the game goes, I mean, I had some rough rolls. But as far as the game goes, I got a lot of good data for my list of what it can and can't do versus a big, heavy beast brick like that. Because usually what I will drop into a list like that is my Una 2 list.
Mm-hmm.
My Una 2 list is designed to start just eating heavies.
Right.
But I needed to see if I drop Kruger 2 into it, could he handle it? The answer is yes, he could, but I need to jump on it early. I can't let the game go as long as it did, because then my ability to get the leg up on the opponent starts drifting away. So, I mean, it was a great game. So, you didn't get any games this week.
I did not.
Man. I got a total of 5 games from the last time we talked.
Jeez.
So I played Brock, and Brock did show up. Thank you, Brock.
What?
Yeah.
Pixar didn't happen.
Yeah, he showed up, and we played Primal Terrors, and then I played my Grimkin as my home faction, and had a lot of fun there. And then I played Todd Fane, and him and I played a couple games with Grimkin versus Circle. And then Tuesday night, I played also Jake into Infernal Machines with all the Mechthralls. And that one was an interesting one. And towards the end, I just got mentally fatigued and gave the game away. I had it won, and I didn't even think about contesting a flag when I should have, and just gave it away. It was a long freaking day.
Bunch of Mechthralls. That sounds like a Rattler's wet dream.
Yeah, but I was playing Circle because Circle is the faction I play outside. Right now, Grimkin is staying at home until it's fully painted.
Right.
So, hobby time. What have you guys done, any hobbying?
No, unfortunately, I've been having to focus on the house more.
Yeah. Jonesy, I saw that you had a few bottles put together. Hmm? Still working on that Desert Hydra?
Still working on that Hydra. I got a new bottle of plastic glue because with the fit on those pieces, it seems like the thickness of my normal Zappa Gap could become an issue as the pieces nest more and more.
Does the plastic glue actually work on the Privateer Press sprues?
Yeah.
It's
polystyrene. All right.
Yeah.
The problem is there was like a clog in the metal pipe, so I'd sit there, I'd squeeze until my hand started to shake, and then it would slowly drip out. By squeezing so hard, it was actually coming out of where the cap screwed onto the bottle. So I had big spots of glue all over my desk. And I was like, so I got a new bottle today. Hopefully, it'll be better to finish it off.
So for me, I got my three Skin and Bones painted.
Nice.
And two of the Witchwoods base coated, so I still gotta get some washes and pick out details and paint the girls for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because for some reason, I just have this. I love painting Grimkin. I realize that they're just so fun to paint. I can't wait to get to the infantry, which usually I hate infantry with a passion, but I can't wait to get to the infantry for them.
The infantry can get a bit tedious. It's the standard infantry, but there's always some little things like the thing I had fun painting when I was painting the Dreadrots was the pumpkin parts as well as all the vines that were going on. It was just interesting just to slowly just look over the model and find a vine here or there and just follow it with the green.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing I can't wait for. The Krabbits probably will be the quickest paint I do because they're essentially shredders.
They were real easy. Just a quick coat of a flesh coat, paint their little tail, paint their teeth and claws, wash it.
Yeah.
Man, you're almost done.
Yeah, and then I also got my Gremlin Swarms all put together. So I tore apart a Mark I Lancer for one group. I tore apart a Destroyer from Kador in another group, and I tore apart a Chimera to give them their bases, so we're ready for that. Okay, so topic for today is Steamroller 2018. So Steamroller 2018, we've got two completely brand new zone scenarios.
Yep, two new scenarios and one tweak one.
So let's talk about the tweak one first, which is Recon 2. The flags that were in the middle of the rectangular zones moved to the corner towards the middle.
Yep.
So, looking at that scenario, I've played that scenario, and that flag being in the center have pretty much saved my butt so many times that with that flag moving over, I am legitimately rethinking how I play this scenario.
It makes it a lot easier to contest as well as get be able to snipe out the solo or heavens forbid the caster sit on it.
Right. Now, one thing I will say is that if the terrain is set up on a table right, it's also going to make it safer because you're supposed to have one line of sight blocking terrain in the center of the table. So if you sit there and put a house you know, caddy corner, you know, pointing in a corner direction or whatnot, you can sit there and literally hide behind a house on that flag. Both people can.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to think about when you play that one.
Now, also something interesting to point out, if my numbers are correct, you can technically have a large base solo on the inner part of that flag be within 4 inches of your objective, which if you choose the heal objective, means if that solo doesn't die, you're able to start healing at the next turn, so it keeps sitting on the flag.
Yeah. Healing die 3.
Yep.
But the objectives are also friendly faction as well.
Yep.
So pretty much whatever solo you put on there for healing has to be friendly faction.
Yep.
So putting your Feral Geist or Gremlin Swarm on there is mm-hmm. something to think about.
Well, unless you're playing Grimkin, at which point...
No, if you're playing Grimkin or Minions, then those work. So the next one is a brand new one, which is called Mirage.
Oh, this one.
So Mirage, you've got two circle zones like Outlast, but instead of being completely in the center, you have one on your side of the table, one on their side of the table.
Mm-hmm.
And an objective in both center points. And then you have three flags running in between them. So this one, you literally could score, if you got the perfect storm,
5 points.
5 points. Yep. In one go.
And with some lists out there, it's possible. Real easy to do.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if your opponent doesn't realize you can do it.
Six, right?
Technically, you could hit six, but that's your opponent just sitting outside.
Six. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you're able to score 6 points, you and your opponent should be re-racking, and you should be scolding your opponent for letting you score their zone at bottom of two.
Because, I mean, you could sit there, feasibly you could score your flag, or mm-hmm. your zone, the three flags, and their objective.
And destroy the objective, yep. I really like this scenario. It actually, it's so unique compared to the rest of them out there.
Yeah.
I hope they start, in the years to come, introducing more like this, where it's not, where it is symmetrical, but not in a diagonal or horizontal, but in the vertical.
Yeah. Well, looking at this scenario, it kind of scares me, but it also is starting to dictate my list building.
Which, that is a sign of a good scenario, that it forces you to think about it.
Because what you have to do right now is you literally have to get to that center line.
Mm-hmm.
As fast, if not faster, than your opponent.
Which, with the way the game's been going lately, you want fast lists. I mean, look at the Slayer spam list.
How much do you want ambushers in this scenario?
Ambushers would help.
Sweep into their zone or take that far flag?
Well, you're looking at the very tip of the zone is 16 inches. Oh, no, 13 inches away.
Yeah.
Going up three... placing the
most of your ambushers are speed
six, so they could run into that zone the turn they come in, since they get placed 3 inches.
Yeah.
Minimum distance would be speed 5 ambushing models could get into there as well, but only like one could do so.
But
you can do that. The flag is also 15 inches from the board edge, so you want that. You only need to be within 4 inches of that.
Yep.
So 11. Down to 8, you could have speed 4 models hitting that objective to prevent your opponent from getting it.
Makes me want to play Cav.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Makes me want to play my Berka Storm of the North list with Long Riders, Murder Bears, and Fire Eaters.
Yeah, let's throw in the Murder Bears, because that's just the perfect storm. Speed 7?
Yeah.
Guys coming in ambushing that are giant bears? Sure.
Yeah. Sounds like a good plan to me.
Sounds like something Signar would get.
No, trolls.
Don't give them ideas.
Signar will get their own stuff. They're due for something new. Not.
No, they're not. They are. They're getting all the new Steelhead that's coming out.
Yeah. Well, in Signar's defense, they did get the Blockhouse. They did get Siege 2. They are getting Kane Zero, so I mean, they're still getting a lot of love. And if you're a Signar player, as much as everyone dogs on it, they're actually getting balanced more and more as the time goes on. But at the same point, it's there's still a lot of hurt feelings over the years. So the next one, scenario four, is Invasion. So this one takes Outlast, which were the two circles on both sides, and puts a square zone in the middle, or a rectangular zone in the middle, and puts two objectives on them. One at the top and one at the bottom. So this one, pretty much everything that all your tactics for Outlast work, but now at the same point, you now have a rectangular zone that if you're playing a beast brick, you can actually score points on this scenario now.
Mm-hmm.
Which I personally like, because when I played Outlast, which was two circles, nothing that beast could score into, I'm like, well, I know exactly what I'm doing this turn. I'm just contesting and stopping scoring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting my caster into one of those zones and start getting some points. But now, I can get my caster in. I can
it's why both objective. My it's why both my Dark Menagerie lists have one or two units of mid-dreadrots is for scenarios like this, where I can just keep one back while the other five go up and do their thing and start scoring the zones.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a great idea. Now, I mean, that's one of the newest. Those are the three new-ish scenarios. Two are brand new.
Mm-hmm.
One got tweaked. The same rules as before still stick. You have kill box on your from your edge to 12 inches in. It's outside the kill box, and then the kill box is 12 inches forward. So remember, well, the kill box is where you're supposed to be in. You're supposed to be in the kill box.
You're right. Carry on.
Which is the area where all the combat's happening.
Yep.
Now, remember, starting on the first player's second turn, if a player ends their turn with a friendly warcast or warlock completely within 12 inches of their table edge, the opponent immediately scores 2 control points.
Which, with some of these scenarios, is an instant win on bottom of 2.
Yep. So, pretty much, if... I think that really takes these scenarios and goes, okay, if you play a defensive game, you stand a very good chance of losing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that people have to realize. Things like, I walk my beast up to your caster and throw you 6-7 inches back, and then find some way to get guys around you so you can't move forward and you have to end your turn.
I mean, what's that rude thing you used to be able to do with Haley 2? Feed on them, you black oil them, you knock off their you hit them with Iris 1 and you can have a model slam or throw them into the kill box and be like, thank you for the win.
Yeah, and they can't get back because they can't get enough movement. Because
they have to sacrifice move interaction to stand up, and then they have to sacrifice move interaction because of black oil.
Yeah. So, I mean, that is still part of the scenario packets, so that's something to think about. The ones that stuck around and spread the net, standoff, and the pit 2. So those are the ones that, you know, scenario 1, 2, and 3 are still the same. 4, 5, and 6 got tweaks.
See, I'm a little surprised at how close standoff and invasion are. It's literally one zone difference.
Yep. Well, if you look at invasion, it's the barbell one, except the barbell, the rectangular one, got turned vertical.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's interesting to see. All the same stuff still applies. Contesting, controlling flags, objectives, all that still applies. Base timing now is still death clock. That has not changed. And everything else is pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm.
Going through the list here. For those of us that play in the Steamrollers, we take this for granted for... But for a lot of our new players who are going to get into events, one of the things to read upon is player responsibilities and a section about markers, measuring devices, and measuring movement.
Yep.
So those paragraphs have a lot of good information on them. So it's just a way of them cleaning up how things are played. Now, this really doesn't affect like local games and local tournaments as much. But when you get to going to like Origins, Gen Con, Adepticon, those big cons,
mm-hmm.
or the big events, that's where this stuff actually starts sticking in. So it's good to just keep in mind and trying to get yourself to that point. Like, one thing I realized that I've been doing is I've been using my measuring sticks as a table marker, but that is not allowed as a table marker.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be using a wall template, a small bead, a coin, something to pretty much denote that area where I'm supposed, where I'm trying to mark.
Yep.
So, just something to think about. And then next we go into the Masters and Champions. So, Masters and Champions. Masters is the one that you're going to see a lot of your experienced guys jumping into to try and get into the Iron Gauntlet. So, the Masters and the Champions have now split up completely. They're not a format that straddles each other anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you now don't get the ADR in Masters, you don't get the Specialists or anything like that, and then in Champions, you can only use the ADR casters.
Right.
Now, every season they put out the ADR, so we just got our new ADR casters, but one of the things that they didn't, that they put in the packet that a lot of people are not realizing, or they do but haven't talked about, is they're, when they put out the season, they're giving you the casters that are allowed, but there's also another set of casters that are allowed,
yes,
which are the Battle Box casters. So the Battle Box casters are always allowed in ADR.
Faction privilege, shining through.
Yep.
Us poor limited factions get only 3 casters. Everyone else gets 5.
I'm not complaining. I got 3 great casters.
I'm not complaining either. Grimkin stole that. Stole this season.
Well, I don't know. I'm looking at circles going, man, just look, Kaya 3 and Kruger 2, and you give us Bones and Devourer's Host. There's fun to be had there. Plus, you have Tanith involved still.
They gave us Old Witch 3.
True. I'll give you that one. So, but, you know, so Beth Maddox, Kozlov, Malekith, Bane Witch Agathea, Magister Helena, Ragnar, Skysplitter, Tanith, Krissa, and Beastmaster Sakaar are all part of the ADR and will not be rotating out.
Yep.
So,
which is why, to me personally, I keep looking at the... this is Champions now, correct?
Yeah.
I keep looking at Champions and it's like, this is supposed to be the elite format, yet it's also very beginner-friendly because... now beginners are only having to focus on a select number of casters to worry about.
I've been thinking about that. You brought that up in an earlier episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think because it might force you to choose suboptimal casters.
At
I mean,
lot of the casters I look on the ADR are pretty strong.
Is Haley 2 in there?
Oh, hush.
Haley 2 is not as strong.
I don't know. Is Denny in there?
I don't know if she is or not.
You don't see Haley 2 tearing up the meta anymore on the national scale.
Give me the top 2 or 3 Signar casters. And are they on the list?
Well, I'll tell you, the Circle's top caster is on the list. And then Kaya 3, which is a second tier caster. Well, no, she's more like the bottom of the top tier is in there. Old Witch 3 is in there. I think Old Witch 2 is in there. I have to look. But other than that, with the scenarios are still all the same. All the rules are still the same.
I mean, for Signar, Striker, Siege, Kray, and Darius.
Yeah, I'm not hearing a dud caster in there.
Are you hearing one where you're like, oh man, I'm always scared when I see him on the table?
But I'm not hearing dud casters.
Right.
So what's Krix got?
Krix has Lich.
Which one?
Scar, Admiral of the Black Fleet.
The Scar 3.
Iakos. And Gorshade the Bastard.
Again, I'm
those
not
are
hearing
solid
dogs.
Casters.
Well, they're solid.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're handicapping you, but they're not letting you play with
by not having the casters be the top tier casters,
right.
It forces the professional players mm-hmm. to have to show their mastery of the faction and the fact uh-huh. that they are not playing the top tier casters and still right. winning. But it also means that for the new players, it notches them up a bit because they're also not choosing the lower end casters because they like them.
Okay.
So it is bridging that gap between the two, but still making it beginner friendly.
On the other hand, I think newer players, especially in the age of the internet and the big metas like we have in War Machine, I think they're going to listen to all the podcasts and be like, oh, here's this big thing. Here's how I win with this. I did it with trolls. I played the Meat Mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And I did pretty well with it for my limited abilities.
There are some lists and some casters out there that you can net deck.
Right.
There are other lists and casters out there where you will put it on the table and you will not understand how it works because that is not your play style.
That's fair.
It's part of the learning experience of this game. It's finding out what
your
play style is.
So if you're a masterful player, you're going to have enough wide experience mm-hmm. or maybe you've gotten tired of your S-tier right. characters and so you're playing in sort of the mid-pack. So you have the experience to win with them.
Right.
If I'm a newbie and I've kind of been using some the top level casters as a crutch, now we're all on the level playing field except the better players ideally will have more experience.
Yeah. Well, one thing I will say is looking at the active duty right now, it kind of throws me off because starting at, you know, I'm looking at Signar, okay, yeah, it's pretty middle of the line. And then we go into Menoth, you got Durst, Intercessor, Krios, Vindictus, and Hyax Severius, which is very, very good. And then you go into Kador, you got Butcher 1, Irusk 2, Sorcia 3, and Zarkova. And that is as solid as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
Krix, you know, is solid. Iacos being in there kind of throws me off. But, you know,
is Black Industries one of them in there?
Yeah.
Then Iacos has a place in there.
Yeah.
In,
it throws me off because he was in last season. That's why it kind of throws me off. But then I look at season 8 for Rhett, and I'm like, oh my god, I need to play Rhett again. Because Ron, Viros 2, Alara 2, and Assyria.
Mm-hmm.
Those are pretty much, those four, the only one you're missing from the top tier is Kaelissa.
Yep.
And then you go into Convergence. You know, the big one that I'm not seeing is Axis. You got Lucant, Aurora, and Orion. So, I mean, they did not put their power caster into there. So I'm like, okay. Mercenaries, I mean, Damiano, great caster. Ashlyn, great caster. Magnus,
a terrifying caster when you think about it with Crucible Guard coming out.
Yeah. And you got Cognifex Siphon and Lieutenant Cross. I mean, very good. Trolls, I look at Trolls, I'm like, man, I really want to play Trolls again because you got Gristle 2, Borka 2, Doomy 3, and Kalandra.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, if you're not playing Madrak, your pairing usually has one of these guys in it.
Exactly.
If you're not playing Kogrimma, it's Madrak and one of these guys, or it's Kogrimma and one of these guys.
It's obvious they did not choose any of the top tier, nor did they choose any of the low tier casters. They chose the middle of the pack.
But if you look at, like, Rhett, and then you look at Circle, I mean, like, Kruger, too. Him, Baldur 2, and Wormwood are the top three casters, and you get Kruger 2 and Wormwood in the ADR this time. With a newly retooled Virus Host with Kaya 3 and Morvana 1.
Circle mm-hmm. Christmas continues.
Yeah, Circle Christmas continues, and wow.
So let's look at Scorn for a second, selfishly.
Supreme Archdominant Makeda. So that's Makeda 2.
That's
right?
Makeda 2.
Primus Jalam, which Jerry has a crush on.
More than a crush.
And then Lord Arbiter Hexorus, which is Hexy 2 or Hexy 1?
What was it? It was S2.
Hexy 2. And then Master Tormentor Morgul, which is Morgul 2. Mm-hmm. That is one heck of an ADR.
What? And let's not forget, what are the two tier lists you can take?
The one that everyone is doing, Imperial Warhorse, Masters of War.
Yeah, so, Scorn Christmas.
So let me ask you, I've clearly got my Masters of War list with Makeda 2, mm-hmm. done and done. Imperial Warhost. What caster do I throw in for that since I can't play Xerxes 2, my new favorite?
Honestly, Morgul 2 sounds like a good pick.
Yeah.
Morgul 2 because he has mortality, and you can take the Shaman to make it range 12. So you're mm-hmm. throwing around minus 2 defense and armor against everything with Scorn Beasts on the table.
Hydra's no joke. Carry on.
Yeah.
That you can also enrage, so now you're looking at effectively a plus 2 to hit, plus 4 to damage.
Okay.
And also you can blind them, so now you're looking at even more. He makes it real easy to take things down.
For our Legion players, I'm talking to Andrew and Brock, you guys have one hell of an ADR. First, your two themes are Oracle of Annihilation and Primal Terrors.
BS. So I call it BS. You're already
playing both of those. And then your active duty is Animag, Veil 2, Thagrosh 2,
oh.
and then Lilith 2, I believe. Herald of Everblight?
That's one.
That's one?
Shadow Lilith, is
yeah. two. So Lilith 1, Thagrosh 2, Veil 2, Animag.
That's my. Terrifying.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know about Animag, but just...
I'm split like...
Animag and Terrors is... disgusting. She has a lot of mat and a lot of to hit and damage swings.
Both Brock and Andrew have been running it. I ran into Brock's last week and it surprised me. I knew how good it was on paper, but it surprised me how good it was on the table.
Mm-hmm.
And it does work, and it does a lot of work. So, Brock, if you're listening, you know, get it back more into the game, and you'll have a lot of success with her.
Mm-hmm.
Minions?
I kind of wish we had Jacob on here to talk about these, because...
I think that's where, after this episode, I'm going to start getting some guests over. Mm-hmm. So, one of the first ones I want to get is start getting our vets in here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to get Edge and Jake in here, so I'm going to schedule them. But the ADR there, I'm looking at it, and... with the amount that Jacob has been playing Barnabas and Sturm und Drang and Yaga Yaga, I'm just like, oh my god, this is crazy.
I think the only one of those I've actually seen on the table, I think are the Gators. I think Barnabas is the only one I've seen at all recently.
Well, Jake plays all of them, and he does some crazy things with them. He's playing some Crits right now to get that bug out of his system, but this ADR is just... you know, just really good from what I've seen Jake do with it. And then we come to Grimkin, which King of Nothing, The Child, Old Witch 3, Dark Menagerie, and Bumpin' a Night, because those are the only themes we have, and I'm loving it. And right now,
that's the pairing I'm running right now. I just need to switch Old Witch back over to Bumpin' the Night, which is easy to do.
Yeah. For me, I'm having a real bad problem because I'm sitting here going, I want to play Grimkin. I want to play Legion. I want to play Circle. I want to play Rat. I want to play Trolls. Ah, too many factions.
Faction ADD at its worst.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sticking to my Circle until the Grimkin are getting painted, but I'm just looking at this ADR going, ooh, I want to play. So, right now, we are recording on Thursday night, the 28th. So, this Saturday is OWC Qualifier at Springfield. Out of the three of us, I am going to be there.
Yep, I will not be there, unfortunately. I want to, but...
yeah. Well, you're starting new things, so that's, you know, you got to devote a little bit of attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jones, he hasn't seen his family in a while, so he's going to spend a weekend with him.
Yeah, last weekend, I was on my own for a week and a half, and I committed to it, and then realized, wait, this is going to be their first weekend back. I should probably see my family. Yeah. So.
Well, that's the thing all of us War Machine players have to do is we got to balance, you know, our want to play as many games as we possibly can with the fact that we do have families, we do have responsibilities. I mean, I've been lucky in the fact that I was able to get Brock and Todd come over and play games and then get another two games on Tuesday. But, you know, there's certain weeks where I'm like, oh, man, I really need to get home and get some stuff done. So, and actually, I'm giving up my Sunday to get some stuff done, too. So, pretty much, you know, we all have to make those decisions. But for me, I'm going to be playing. I'm going to be playing my Kruger 2 list and my Una 2 list. Going into the shark tank. We've got a lot of sharks in this pool that I get to play against. I think we are at 18 players right now. Not
very nice.
Not to mention any stragglers that come the day of deciding what they wanted to play. Let's see. I know that we've got guys from Indy coming. We got guys from Cincinnati coming. We got guys from Columbus coming. So, I mean, it's going to be a really big event. So, I'm real happy for that. A lot of good people got a lot of good games to be played. So, if nothing else, maybe, you know, Jonesy, stop, swing on by. You know, pick some brains.
I might do that.
Looking at the tournament list. So, we went through Conflict Chamber and put everything on. And we sat there and have all the lists up. If you go to the OWC page and go into the thing. The funny thing is we have only one Scorn player at the event. And that's Mr. Eric Grimsley. So he's playing Zedeshtun Resheth 1. So he's playing Exalted and Winds of Death. So that's a pretty interesting pairing. So definitely, you know, we'll eventually I'm going to figure out this podcasting thing and get Grimsley on or get some of the Columbus guys on here. We've got two Signar players.
Okay.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Kador, but Ohio has always been Kador heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We've got one Menoth player.
Okay.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4 Krix players. They don't like having Krix.
Half of this tournament is Krix and Kador.
Yeah. We have no Rhett, which is kind of amazing. No Mercs.
It's a little sad.
No Convergence.
Okay.
We've got 2 Trollbloods, 2 Legion, 3 Circle, 1 Scorn, no Grimkin, 1 Minions.
Yeah, decent spread, other than, you know, half the... excluding the half Kador and Krix, it's not a that's not a bad spread.
Well, I mean, we're going to have, like, looking at the list, we've got Ben, he's playing Signar, and he does really good with his Signar. We've got... Chuck Collins playing Krix. We've got, we got Wes playing Krix. We've got DJ playing his Trolls. We got Edge playing Krix. I mean, we've got a lot of good players in here just ready to tear things up. So we're going to have a really fun game.
So the question that popped into my head is, you mentioned stragglers. How's that going to be handled? Because these lists have been up for a bit, so... It's easier for people to counter against what people have shown and just come in and be like, I'm playing this.
Yeah. Well, that's something that Jake and I have to figure out the day of. Mm-hmm. One thing, because when I set up the Conflict Chamber, I put my list in first and locked it in place with Jake. Said, Jake, this is my list. They're not going to change. And so I think something that Jake and I may do is... figure out a way to, you know, straggle it. We don't want people to not play.
Right.
That's the big thing. And in the end, if they sit there and net deck for this to try and get an advantage, I think we have a lot of good players in here that is just going to look at it and go, okay, I'll play around it and still win against it.
True.
Because if you're at that point where that's what you need to do, we've got enough really good players that can play around it. So I don't think it'd be that much of an issue, but we had some issues with Conflict Chamber, so there's still some growing pains there.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else we want to talk about tonight?
No, not that I can think of.
Jonesy?
I just have to point out that I beat you one more time.
Yep, you beat me.
Actually, there is one thing that I would like to mention to everyone with this new steamroller coming out. It's an old rule, but it's starting to become more of something people should realize, especially as they're playing against people outside the meta or going to conventions. For the hobbyists out there, the conversion rule specifies you can use any privateer press models or bits for your conversions. Until recently, that hasn't mattered. But with the introduction of Monsterpocalypse and the new game coming out next year, Riot Quest!
Sorry.
Pieces from those models can be used as conversion pieces. So if you see something odd on a person's model, do not immediately assume that is not a privateer press piece.
Yeah, that's something to think
and
about.
And go wild with your conversions if you want to, so long as you're using those pieces.
Hmm.
I've already seen one picture of someone taking a Rocket Man and putting the Defender X jump pack on it. And we're talking about a jump pack where one of the boosters is the size of the model itself.
Hey, you know, he needed some extra help to get up in the air.
He did.
He ate too much at breakfast. Alrighty, thanks for that. Anything else?
Nope.
Alright, well, for myself, Jerry, and Jonesy, I thank you all for joining us tonight, and we'll catch you on the next Swarmcast.
Toodles.
Later.